And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week in January 2025. On the podcast today, we are going to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 11. Before we get into the podcast today, before we get into the scripture, again, I've been doing some changes on the podcast hosting site, and so there might be some interruptions in service and some things going on as we get some things finalized. Finished up a couple of things this past week about that, and I think we actually had a lapse in availability for a few days, but that's okay. The Lord knows, and we'll be in a more robust position when everything is complete. So you pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for the podcast. 1 Samuel chapter number 11. 1 Samuel chapter number 11 is where we are today. 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes, and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel, and then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto him his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and shewed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, Saul reign over us? Bring them in, that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, come, and let us go to Gilgal, and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. All right. So, let's set the time of this first. We see here that just the chapter previous, that Saul has been anointed king, and there were some people said, who is this going to be that's going to be king over us? And there's a period of time Saul goes back to his place. He goes back to Gibeah for such a time as this. Now, why did Nahash the Ammonite pick Jabesh Gilead? Well, first off, it's in Gilead. And it's near the border of the children of Ammon. But he picked that because the men of Jabesh Gilead were related to the men of Gibeah. If you go back into Judges 19 and through the end of the book of Judges, you see the tale that happened with the men of Benjamin and Benjamin being completely decimated. That is, there were very few people left. In fact, there were, what, 600 left out of the entire tribe of Benjamin? There were only 600 or 700 left. Go back and look at it. Go back and look at it. Make sure the numbers are right. I don't remember the exact number right off the top of my head. So go back and look at it and see and tell me if I've done right, if I've remembered it correctly. Just a few hundred men. And they needed wives. All the wives and all the children had all been killed. And there were just these few left over. And they were in Gibeah. That's where they were from. And it all stems on how the men of Gibeah treated the Levite and his concubine. And the Levite sent pieces of his concubine out to all Israel, and they all went and attacked Benjamin. Now that happens very soon after Joshua's death. It's not very long. And so they find, they say, well, who didn't come up to the battle? Well, the men of Jabesh Gilead did not come up to the battle. All right, so they went and they killed every man, every boy, and every woman that had been with a man, and brought the virgins of Jabesh Gilead, the virgin girls of Jabesh Gilead, back to be wives of the men of Benjamin. But there weren't enough. I think there was only 400 available. That left 200. And so they were then given permission, basically, to steal away the virgins that came and were at certain places at a certain festival every year. And so that's the story of the men of Gibeah. But what happened to Jabesh Gilead? Some of those men may have gone back to Jabesh Gilead. There were other people came back to Jabesh Gilead. Maybe all of the men of Jabesh Gilead weren't actually in the city, and they came back and found everybody dead or gone, and they were their blood kin. And so over a period of time, the men of Jabesh Gilead claimed kinship to the men of Gibeah. Okay? Gibeah being where Saul was from. Saul was related to the men of Jabesh Gilead is the whole point. And it would have been through the lines of that original 600 men with the 400 women from virgin women from Jabesh Gilead. And so that's why Jabesh Gilead was chosen, and it was handy for Nahash, king of Ammon. He heard that Israel had made a king, and he heard who it was. Said Saul of Gibeah. He said, isn't Gibeah and Jabesh Gilead kindred? Aren't they kindred? Let's get their attention. So he went to Jabesh Gilead. I mean, there's all a bunch of other towns. You know, Lodabar's in that region. Mahanaim is in that region. There's other towns, major towns, that are nearby. But he picked Jabesh Gilead because it was guaranteed to get a rise out of Saul. He wanted a battle. Nahash the Ammonite wanted a battle. And he put terms on the men of Jabesh Gilead that they could not abide by. That is, having the right eye thrust out. Now, most right-hand dominant people are also right-eye dominant. And so the idea is, we're going to cripple you for life. And the men of Jabesh Gilead says, well, give us a week. Give us a week and see if we can find somebody that'll help us. And Nahash agreed to that. That's what he wanted. He wanted to get Saul out of hiding, and he wanted to be the first one to put Saul in his place and teach Israel a thing or two. After all, it hadn't been that long since Jephthah, and it hadn't been that long since Jephthah had absolutely beat up on the children of Ammon. Now, how long had it been? That is one of the most tricky, things to look at in terms of that timing. We know that from the time of the conquering of Og and Sihon to the time of Jephthah is 300 years. We also know that from the time of the Exodus to the time of the temple. Let me just go ahead and give you that reference. That is in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. I'll read it. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel. All right, that tells you what year of the reign. Now, you got to be careful adding years up, because the fourth year of his reign means he had reigned three full years, and he was in his fourth year. That's what it means. Although, they don't necessarily say three full years. It depends on what month of the year starts the reign, and which reckoning, the religious calendar or the civil calendar, they were using. It gets complicated in a hurry. And so we're going to use round numbers here so that we don't have to go through the full calculations. So Solomon has reigned 3 years. All right. So from the, let's do this. First off, it's 38 years from the Exodus to the conquering of Sihon and Og. So there's 300 years from there to Jephthah. So from the Exodus to Jephthah, add 38 years to that. So it's 338 years. All right. Subtract 338 from 480. And what do you get? And you get, if I've done my math right, 142 years. So there's 142 years from the time of Jephthah to the time of Solomon's third year. Let's make it a round number, or fourth year. So that means that if you subtract that out, there's 138 years from Jephthah to Solomon starting his reign, give or take a year. Okay? Again, it depends on the reckoning of the start of the reign. Depends on what month that was. Because if he started his reign in the last month of the year, then that was considered his first year. And then when the year changed, that was his second year, even though it might just be a month later. So that's Solomon. To the beginning of Solomon's reign from Jephthah is 138 years. All right. David reigned 40 years. So subtract 40 from 138, and you get 98. All right. That gets you from Jephthah to the beginning of David's reign. All right. Saul reigns 40 years, the Bible tells us. And so subtract another 40 from that, and you get 58. So from the beginning of Saul's reign back to Jephthah is only 58 years. So it's new in the memory of Ammon. It is just 58 years ago. You want to know how long ago that is? All right, 58 years ago from 2025 is... Let's make it easy. Let's do 60. That's 1965. So 58 would be 1967. All right. There's a lot of people alive that can remember 1967, which was the, that was what? The Six-Day War was in 67? That's been 58 years ago. What else is in 67? Vietnam, of course. Right? Vietnam. That is definitely something people remember. I'm doing all this math to get you to realize that for Nahash, the defeat of the Ammonites by Jephthah was still in the memory. It was in the Ammonites' memory. The Ammonites were just now recovered fully from their destruction at the hand of Jephthah. There's not that much time between Jephthah and Saul. There's not. That tells me also that there's some people alive at the time of Jephthah that you might not have realized was alive. There's a lot of parallels there. It's really difficult. It is really difficult to get the chronology right. See, Samuel could have been born by the time of Jephthah. I think it's a little bit later. He and Samson are roughly in the same time frame. Samuel and Samson are in roughly the same time frame. And there's a lot has to happen between Jephthah's time and Saul's time, just 58 years later. And this is the very first year of Saul's reign. Because Samuel says, let's go renew the kingdom at Gilgal. Why Gilgal? That's where they started the covenant with Joshua. That's where they circumcised and renewed the covenant. So it was the perfect place. And it was right there by the fords of the Jordan. And so they went to Gilgal. That very first place, Israel came there and they renewed the covenant under Joshua, and now they're renewing the covenant under Saul by the works of Samuel. After defeating the Ammonites. So this is at the very beginning of Saul's reign. And again, the New Testament tells us Saul reigned 40 years. And that's just a simple fact. So you got 40 years of Saul's reign. By the time of David, it had been another 60 years or 50 years. And so that gives you the timeline. You got 58 years between Jephthah and his defeat of Ammon and Saul and this defeat of Ammon. And then you've got another. I mean, David hadn't even been born yet. It was 10 years before David would be even born. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, consider all those things. Consider the timing. We're right up to, we're about 100 years away from David's battles with Ammon when Jephthah has had his battle with Ammon. So you have Jephthah's battle and then Saul's battle almost 60 years later. And then you have David's battle a little over 40 years later, 50 years later, somewhere in that range. Probably about 50 years later. Maybe as much as 60. It would be very much like the Bible and very much like the Lord for the actual length of time to have been the same length of time, 58 years. That would be very much like the Word of God and like how God does things. It's basically the Ammonites have just now recovered from their rout by Saul, and now they're wanting to fight David. And Nahash has died. Now, Nahash, it could be the same Nahash. And he could have lived to be an old man after his defeat by Saul. And maybe that's why Hanan and his princes were so eager to make it look like David was not being kind to Nahash. Rather, he was wanting to spy. I mean, that was the history. And again, it was fresh. It was fresh. Just as fresh as our history with Vietnam. It's not that long ago. It's not that long ago at all. And I do all that math just to make it real. It needs to be real to us what the situation with Ammon was at the time of David. And the situation was very plain and very simple. Hanan was ready to avenge the defeat of Nahash by Saul. He was ready to rewrite things and say, all right, this new king of Israel thinks he can just come in here. He's looking for an occasion for battle. I'll give him a battle. And, we read back a few weeks back what happened, how that David won that battle. And now David's going to be fighting Ammon for a while. It's not just a one and done thing with Ammon. They just keep coming back. And they're going to come back some more. They're going to come back more, and they're going to be against Israel for some time. They're going to be basically mortal enemies for a length of time. That's important to remember. That gives us our context so that when we go back in and study what David is doing, we'll go back in and we'll see what's going on. We'll see what's going on with David here and why he even stayed home instead of going out and battling Ammon one more time. Yeah. So that gives you the timeline. And I think that's important. I think it's really important to understand the amount of time that's between these events. I mean, it's real easy to think it's been a long time, but thanks to Jephthah's 300 years, and thanks to 1 Kings 6:1's 480 years, and thanks to other areas in the Bible, we can work out that they ain't but 58 years between Jephthah and Saul. It's not that long. It's not that long at all. And it's fresh in people's memory. Yes, it's a new generation. New generations think that they're the only one that's ever gone through these things. In reality, they're just repeating the same old pattern over and over again. And so, Lord willing, we'll pick back up with the story of David next week. We'll deal with Ammon as it comes up in the story, but Lord willing, we'll go back into 2 Samuel and pick up back up with where David is in his battles against the children of Ammon. And I want to thank you for listening to I Want to Know More, a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen out of the Macedonian Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And join us again here next time for the I Want to Know More podcast.